Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily. According to Acts chapter 17, verse number 11, God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is December 7th, 2025. Yes, we are now into the final month of the year of 2025. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. And today, on the first Sunday of the month, at 1 p.m. for afternoon service, there will be no 5 p.m. service today. And we will assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM or WGNZ AM 1110 or FM 104.3. You may also listen to us by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Please keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testament. We're not to add to or to take away from God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation chapter 22 verses 18 and 19. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? You know, as we look at this year, and now getting close to the close of it, I want us to think about, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, the subject of ambition. And we need to each ask ourselves the question, what is my ambition? You know, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, he makes this observation, and I don't like reading in the midst of a sentence or a paragraph. So we'll start at verse 9 for context, but the emphasis will be verse number 11. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. A number of years ago, Mr. Ralph K. Bennett penned an article that appeared in the 1991 edition of the Reader's Digest magazine. And he wrote about his Uncle George. George enjoyed the simple things of life, and one incident in his life caused me to reflect on what really is important. He said that George set up a telescope in the backyard to view the moon and the stars. He further wrote that a neighbor by the name of Sport Campbell joined them in viewing the vastness of the Milky Way. George remarked, quote, "You know, Sport, it's really some bargain. We have the chance for eternity, and then he gives us all this right now," close quote. The Christian, however, is directed toward leading a life that allows time for enjoying God's physical creation. As we read, Paul penned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business." It was the Apostle Paul who penned to Timothy and said, "I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Friends, we should do this in order that we, God's people, might be able to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You know, I think back to what Bennett wrote about his Uncle George. George's life allowed for time to be aware of God's presence. You know, we need to ask ourselves this question today. Does my daily activity contribute to a life that is quiet and tranquil in all godliness and dignity? Does my life allow me to feast upon the blessings of God even now? What are my ambitions? Let's think about that for a few moments today. Ambition. We all understand the importance of having ambition. I say that, but I'm hoping that we all do. In many ways, our ambitions define who and what we are. You know, in our language here in America and at this time, unambitious is not a complimentary thing. We don't want to be labeled as an unambitious person. In our language, that is the same as being called lazy. An ambition is an aspiration. It is a desire. It is a longing. If it is our ambition to lead a quiet life, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 suggests and teaches us, and then as long as we think about it, then we want to lead a quiet life. It is our aspiration, our desire, and our longing. And ambition is more than this, however. Other associated ideas that we will find from God's word associated with this with ambition are goal, intent, purpose. Now, while a Christian's ambitions are his desires, they are also his goals. The Christian husband and father, for instance, not only wants to work to provide for his family, well, he recognizes that it is his duty to do so. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, as well as what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8, when the scriptures point out that, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The Christian wants and intends, wants and intends to provide his family's physical as well as, most importantly, spiritual needs. Most people seem to have ambitions of one sort or another. The ambitions of the worldly-minded person centers on worldly or carnal-minded success. The ambitions of the spiritually-minded center on pleasing God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Get this. True ambitions require at least three things. And those three things that we will look at today are determination, sacrifice, and focus. Let's begin examining this. Determination is both a conscious decision to do something and a willingness to work for it. You know, the one who aspires to win an Olympic medal must be ambitious. The marathon runner does not stumble upon the world scene and upon world renown. He or she decides to become a good runner, then works hard to achieve the goal. Let's consider, if you will, an Old Testament example. In the book of Daniel, we learn a very important principle by way of inspiration in Daniel chapter 1. We learn that Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the king's dainties, with the royal food and drink. But and look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. So as you know, historically, contextually, these children of Israel had been taken away into Babylonian captivity. And the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Early on, Daniel had resolved or purposed, if you're reading from the King James translation, not to defile himself with the unclean foods of the Gentile king. This was no absent-minded habit of his. It was, however, a clear-headed decision. Daniel did not stop there. He wanted to do what was right, but he also put that desire into action. He went to the chief official and requested that he not defile himself. That was real determination. Ambition requires that there be determination on the part of an individual. But also, not only must there be determination, but a true ambition requires sacrifice. A goal of any consequence puts demands on the individual for time and effort at the expense of other things. this marathon runner that we talked about in the beginning by way of illustration, the marathon runner sacrifices long hours in order to become good at the sport. The marathon runner gives up many tasty foods in order to keep extra ounces of fat off the body. The marathon runner makes sacrifices in hopes of achieving the goal. You know, it's amazing how we can understand from an athletic point of view what is necessary to achieving those athletic goals, the sacrifices that are necessary. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Self-denial is a sacrifice, a willingness to give up any earthly desire. The one who denies himself is willing to lose his life to gain life with Jesus our Lord. A true ambition requires that we are willing to sacrifice. And if a person is unwilling to sacrifice in this life, then they're not truly desirous or have the ambition of gaining that which God provides. But I said that there were three things. The third is that a true ambition requires focus. A true ambition requires that there be focus. For one thing, this means that other activities cannot distract our attention from our goals. The Olympic runner cannot let lesser activities keep him from his practice. Those who long to be pleasing to God cannot let earthly concerns distract them from obtaining their ambition. Now, the Apostle Paul illustrated this in this way. Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Listen to how the Holy Spirit put it through the Apostle Paul. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." True ambition requires focus. If we are to please God, worldly cares must not be permitted to distract us. Furthermore, focus also means that one must select between many competing goals. Some combinations are impossible. You know, one ambition interferes with another. Our world-class runner cannot at the same time focus on being a world-class tennis player. One simply does not have enough time nor enough energy for both. One has to make the determination, which do I choose to be? You know, Jesus made it clear himself in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." One has to maintain a sharp focus if that individual is going to attain to the ambition that they have set for themselves. You know, when we are contemplating ambitions associated with pleasing God, those ambitions that we are looking at with regards to being well-pleasing to our Almighty Creator will have these three characteristics. They will have determination, they will have sacrifice, and they will have focus. And, you know, so by looking at each of them, and now how do we apply them to our lives? Now, look at it this way. Few people with children do not have some ambition regarding them. Some of our more worldly parents want their children to be beauty queens and to be a CEO of a corporation. This becomes their ambition. They determine early on for their children, oh, you need to be beautiful. They make this decision and begin working to gain the renown for their child that they desire. They sacrifice their own time and often their child's inborn humility so that the child can walk the runway. They focus their own and their child's attention on physical beauty and sacrifice many spiritual goals so that that child can gain their objective. Of course, the overwhelming and overriding objective of the faithful child of God as a parent is to raise their child and their children to be faithful children of God, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And this too must start with a determination to do so. The godly parents must make a conscious decision, and they must expend a good deal of work, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. It just doesn't happen. And so we're engaged in this, and this becomes the ambition. The parent must make sacrifices. Parents, the godly parents who want their children to be influenced by righteousness, these parents should have the desire and understand their duty to their child in this regard. God expects all parents to give up all earthly things for the spiritual good of their child. Paul used this fact to illustrate a point when he wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 14 through 15. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong, Paul says. Then verse 14, now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. As his spiritual children, the Apostle Paul recognized it was his duty to spend and be spent for the Corinthian spiritual welfare. We are to do the same for our physical children. We need to spend and be spent for their spiritual development. We must sacrifice our precious time to spend time with our children, teaching them God's word, teaching them to know God's will. Now, the local congregation can help by providing certain things in Bible class, but parents are the ones who are ultimately responsible, who spend the bulk of time with their children. And parents need desperately to focus their attentions on this ambition, to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, there are many parents, sadly, who will attest to the fact that half-hearted attempts to raise up children to God simply does not work. God spoke to us through the prophet Moses about how much attention, about how much focus parents must give to the particularly important goal of raising children. And if you don't remember, if you have forgotten this, I would encourage you to go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's how often we are to be engaged in fulfilling this ambition. Saving souls should be an ambition of the faithful child of God. We can see all the elements of determination, sacrifice, and focus in the endeavor of seeking the lost. Jesus was consistent with his call for us to get to work in saving souls, Matthew 28:19-20. The New Testament also stresses the sacrificial attitude we must have in this endeavor to save souls, 1 Corinthians 9:19-22. Furthermore, earthly cares should not distract us from this effort. The early life of John Mark stands out as a negative example of allowing things to distract us from fulfilling this charge, Acts 15:36-40. Remember, he started out on the work of preaching and then abandoned Barnabas and Paul when they were far from finished. This fickleness ultimately caused strife between Barnabas and Paul, and they parted company, Acts 15:37-39. We need to ask ourselves individually, am I ambitious in my service to God? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has provided the plan of our redemption. We need to believe that he is, and he's the reward of them who diligently seek him, repent of our sins, make the good confession of our faith, and surrender to water immersion for the forgiveness of our sins.